This morning, as we've been taking a look at Joseph and what God has meant for good in Joseph's life, and you say, well, Mike, Joseph has had a pretty tough time. Last week, we saw that Joseph's brothers were sent to take care of the sheep, and we know that the dad sent Joseph to take a peek at him, see if they was doing okay. He hadn't heard from him in a while. And he told Joseph, why don't you go see about your brothers and see if you can find them. Well, they had moved, and so it took Joseph a little bit to find them. But the thing about it was, folks, that the brothers hated Joseph. And so Brian was telling us this last week, that they hated Joseph, and so they decided that they would kill him, or they would sell him, or they would do something with him. So they put him in a cistern, and when they went back to get him, well, it was empty. But what has happened to Joseph happens to a lot of us, folks. If you take time to look at your own life, you see that so many times what you thought was meant for good turned out to be bad. Or what you thought maybe God intended for good turned out to be bad. But later on, 20 years down the road, it turns out to be good. It takes a while sometimes for this stuff to make a turn. And so we begin to see that the what's meant to be good sometimes takes several years to make it around to where we can actually see it. That was the way it was in my life. It took several years. What I thought should have been working in my favor, it didn't. And it took several years to spin that whole clock around. And then I could see it. That's kind of where Joseph is at. This morning, as we take a look at the 39th chapter of Joseph, or of Genesis 39, and Joseph is being thrown in prison. My gosh, how bad is that? I mean, he has been sold as a slave, and as he's been sold for a slave, they take him and they sell him on a block, just like they used to do slaves. And it says in an old parable that they would take a man that they thought was worth more than what he would bring, and they would put pearls around his neck and gold chains around his neck, and he would bring more money. If he wasn't what he thought they were, that at least they'd have some of their money back in the pearls and the chains. We used to sell a lot of horses and cows through the sale, and we sold tobacco on the tobacco floor when I was growing up. And I know that's kind of what happened when we would go to sell tobacco on the tobacco floor. You'd have baskets of tobacco, about 5 by 5 boxes of tobacco, and they would take a country ham, about a 2-year-old country ham, lay it right on top of that tobacco, and the buyer would give more for Frank Bush tobacco if he done that then he wouldn't my tobacco, because I didn't have none. I didn't have a ham, and that's the way they done it. And Miss Ann watched that, and we've all watched that went to the tobacco floor. And so the buyers, it wasn't nothing to them, because they didn't have the money in it. They were working for somebody else. And so this is what they had sold Joseph, because he was a fine looking young man. He looked like a man that could help work. He could do lots of things. But the one thing I want you to pay attention to this morning, folks, is he was a man of God. He was in tune with God. And God blessed him. And he blessed not only Joseph, but he blessed whoever was around Joseph. So we're going to see this story of being tempted and him doing the right thing. Him getting away from being tempted, and how it turns out to be bad for him. And we all got those kind of stories. So it says, when Joseph was taken to Egypt by the Ishmaelite traders, he was purchased by Potiphar, an Egyptian officer. Potiphar was captain of the guard for Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Now, Pharaoh, let's stop right there for just a minute. Pharaoh is not going to be the same Pharaoh over in the book of Exodus if you read about him over there. But you can think about Pharaoh as being a name that's kind of used like for the president or for a king. Just, you know, the king is what you could put there, the president that we use today, you know. But the Lord was with Joseph, and so he succeeded in everything he did as he served in the home of his Egyptian master. Potiphar noticed this and realized that the Lord was with Joseph, giving him success in everything he did. This pleased Potiphar, so he soon made Joseph his personal attendant. He put him in charge of his entire household and everything he owned. And from the day Joseph was put in charge of his master's household and property, the Lord began to bless Potiphar's household for Joseph's sake. All of his household affairs ran smoothly, and his crops and livestock, they flourished. So Potiphar gave Joseph complete administrative responsibility over everything he owned. With Joseph there, he didn't worry about a thing except what kind of food to eat. Joseph was a very handsome and well-built young man, and Potiphar's wife soon began to look at him lustfully. "Come and sleep with me," she demanded. But Joseph refused. "Look," he told her, "my master trusts me with everything in his entire household. No one has more authority than I do. He has held back nothing from me except you. Because you are his wife, how could I do such a wicked thing? It would be a great sin against God." She kept putting pressure on Joseph day after day, but he refused to sleep with her, and he kept out of her way as much as possible. Then one day, however, no one else was around when he went to do his work. She came and grabbed him by his cloak, demanding, "Come on, sleep with me." Joseph tore himself away, but he left his cloak in her hand as he ran from the house. When she saw that she was holding the cloak and he had fled, she called out to her servants. Soon all the men came running. "Look," she said, "my husband has brought this Hebrew slave here to make fools of us. He came into my room to rape me, but I screamed. And when he heard me scream, he ran outside and got away. But he left his cloak behind with me." She kept the cloak with her until her husband came home. Then she told him her story. "The Hebrew slave you brought into your house tried to come in and fool around with me," she said. "But when I screamed, he ran outside, leaving his cloak with me." Potiphar was furious when he heard his wife's story about how Joseph had treated her. So he took Joseph and threw him into prison where the king's prisoners were held, and there he remained. But the Lord was with Joseph in the prison and showed him his faithful love. And the Lord made Joseph a favorite with the prison warden. Before long, the warden put Joseph in charge of all the other prisoners and over everything that happened in the prison. The warden had no worries because Joseph took care of everything. The Lord was with him and caused everything he did to succeed. This is a reading of God's word for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Mercy. Everybody ever heard such a story and everything happening to Joseph? That was terrible. It was a mess. And the way that Joseph, being sold into slavery, he was bought, and he came to be a servant for Potiphar. The Lord was with him. The Lord blessed him. He blessed him with everything. And Potiphar began to recognize this. He began to say, "Look here, this guy's, he's got God on his side. All of my crops are doing better. All of my cattle's doing better. Everything's doing better." And he loved having him there. And so we see this story, folks, in the life of ourselves sometimes. We see times that we do better when we have, maybe we've had a very godly person in our life. When we have someone in our life that is directing our way, we do better than we do when we back out of that godly person and we try to depend on doing things ourselves. But we see that as it all was starting, that Potiphar brought him in whenever he got him into the house. Now, a lot of these houses were laid out, folks. If you look in the some of the history, it was like 2 and 3 stories. And so he had the run of the bottom story, the bottom floor. And they lived in the upper part. And so he would take care of all their needs during the day. He had everything under control. And as it went on, he even turned over his administrative needs, all of his administrative things to him. And so we know that he paid, as we'd say, as Tammy does at our house, she paid the bills. I don't have to worry about nothing but what she asked me that I want for supper. And so that's a wonderful thing. And Mark's the same way. But we know that that's what he was doing. He was taking care of everything. And so as it went on and he began to get, I guess you could say, deeper in the kind of being in the family there, well, the wife begins to notice. Now, I personally don't think that the wife and the husband had too good a relationship, but that's not the story today. But she the way she talked about him, she wasn't saying her husband, or she was just, you know, kind of like, okay, he's gonna get back in the way I read it, but you know, that's another story for another day. But anyway, she began to pay attention to Joseph, and he was tempted. You ever been tempted by anything? Sure we have. Every one of us here has been tempted by something. It doesn't have to be that the woman that you're working for tempted you. It could be anything. You can be tempted to something small, to something large. You can be tempted by money. You can be tempted by power. You can be tempted by the way that someone looks at you and, you know, desires a relationship with you. You can be tempted. I've been tempted a whole lot and have played this part a whole lot in my life. I'm tempted to sell my car, sell my truck, sell my motorcycle, and buy something better. And I've done that several times. And it wasn't better. Every time it's been worse. Just about every time. So you get tempted to do things. And when you do get tempted to do something, then you'll do it. And it's just a temptation from the devil saying, you don't have to deal with what you got. You can do. You can get rid of it and have what this man's got. It's a temptation. And this is where Joseph was. He was being tempted to do the right thing. Folks, he was a godly man. He would have been sinning against God. He would have been sinning against his master. Also, he would have been sinning against her and himself. He knew that this was not what he should be doing. He knew that this was not going to work out well if he went down this road. But folks, I've been where he's at in other situations where no matter whether you do or whether you don't, it's not going to work out well. And this is where he was at. It no matter whether he stayed with her or whether he broke loose and run, it wasn't going to work out well for him. But it worked out well with him and God because God knew. God knows our hearts. He knows what we're doing. Is it for God? Is it for the covenant we've made between God and ourselves? That we recognize the fact that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, and then we decide that we're going to do something just because. And then so we have to be very careful that we don't sin against God. So he was being as careful as he could be, knowing that it wasn't going to work out well either way. No matter what happened, it was going to be bad. But he chose to go ahead and run. Now, if you notice, too, she got a hold of his cloak, his coat, his outer garment, and she held on, and he run, and he tore it, and then she kept it. Well, it was the cloak is what they deceived his dad with. It's the cloak that she's deceived her husband with. It's his cloak that keeps getting him in trouble. I took that coat off and threw it away, you know, because, I mean, if it's going to be a coat that's going to get me in trouble every time, I don't want it. But today I have to have it. I'm old, so I got to have some something on me, you know. But that's what the problem was. So she has it. She has it in her hand. She can tell the story any way she wants to. And that's what happened. She told it the way she wanted it to be instead of the way that it actually was. Just as any one of us, we would believe her over Joseph. And that's what Potiphar done. He believed his wife over Joseph. He didn't ask Joseph. He just threw him in jail in a bad place. But as he was in jail, God was with him. Don't you know that while he was in jail, he was asking himself, why in the world am I here? Why in the world have I drawn this straw that's got me here? Why in the world did God have you put me here? Well, when we poured the water this morning in Philippians 1, 12 through 14, we saw that Paul said, I am in prison, in chains for Jesus Christ. And yet, while I'm here, we have seen that people here feel very comfortable to speak about Jesus. Well, while he was in prison, people around him was feeling very comfortable to speak about God. And he became, in prison, he became the one that people looked up to. He became the one that all the guys were saying, there's something different about this dude. And even the jailer, the main one, the sheriff, Dickie Bomer, he's looking at him and he's saying, hey, look here, this dude, he might know something that some of these other boys don't know. I'm going to let him have a little more free time out, you know. And as he let him have the free time out, then we noticed that Joseph, he didn't run off down to the liquor store behind the jail. He stayed up there with Dickie. Dickie said, wow, he's different from everybody else, you know. And that's what we saw. We saw that he was a different person. And the people at the jail, the wardens at the jail, they began to put more confidence in him. And they soon turned everything over to Joseph in that was happening in the jail because they didn't have to worry about it. But folks, it's just like Paul. The guys in jail with him were some bad boys. And these people were not like some that we have in jail. These were some bad boys. Yet they felt comfortable speaking about God. When you're in jail, do you speak about God? Would you speak about God? If you were in jail, they'd say, you're no different. You're no different than us, dude. You're in jail. You're not any different. If you wasn't guilty, you wouldn't be here. That's what we say. We don't know. We don't know what's happening in that man's life. We don't know. We know several people that probably went to jail and done time that did not deserve to be there. But yet they were there. Did they speak about God or did they were complaining about how cruelly they'd been treated? You see, you can take whatever circumstance you're in and you can make it good. You can make it to the good of God if we desire to. If you don't desire to, it's not going to happen. And so we know that as he's been placed above and beyond all these other people, that the warden had no more worries. But you think about Potiphar. Now, he's got rid of Joseph. Joseph's gone on. But things begin to decline. Things aren't like they used to be there at his house. Folks, today, we as Christians, me, I'm talking about Mike Wembley. I can't talk about you because I don't know. But I can talk about me. Today, when I stay focused on God, when I stay with godly people, when I have people around me that are truly brothers in Christ, sisters in Christ, when I have people around me that desire to know more about God and have that same thought pattern I have, then I have a lot better opportunity. Things go so much better. Things are so much better in my life and in my world that I live in. And it's just so much better than when I get to hanging with the wrong bunch. Now, I don't know about y'all. I'm just saying, I know about me. Because I can have a tendency to get with the wrong crowd. And I do a lot of times. And a lot of times I do because I want to talk to them about the Lord. I want to talk to them and tell them about the Lord. The other day, I pulled up there to get some gas at the gas station and on my scooter. And I was standing there and putting in some gas. And this dude, he was pulled up there and got out of the truck. And he walked over and he said, "You burning up these good days, aren't you, buddy?" I said, "Yes, sir. I'm burning up some good days." And I said, "It's just hard to decide whether we're going fishing or going scooter riding." He said, "That is hard." I said, "I know that's right." So we stand there talking, and we just talking about this and that, and I'm putting gas in my scooter, and he hadn't never put any gas in nothing. He's just standing there talking to me. I never seen this guy before in his life, but I'm talking back, you know. And y'all can believe it or not, but so when we began to get through there, you know, well, I said, "Hey, dude," I said, "I'm Mike Wimberly." He told me his name, shook my hand, and I said, I pastor at Grace Life Church, and I said, "Hey, we'd love to have you come visit us sometimes." That dude backed up, got a hold of the tailgate, and he said, "And you're a pastor?" I said, "Yes, sir, I am." And he said, I said, "Have I said anything that made you think any different?" He said, "No, sir." I said, "Well, okay." He said, "I wasn't expecting you to tell me you was a pastor." I said, "Well, maybe I don't look like one, but I am." And we got to talking about church, and we got to talking about different things. And I got a chance to invite him. And he, by the time we separated, it was like he felt very comfortable with me. And I don't know exactly where he lives. He kind of told me where he lived. But I'm going to look him up again in a week or so. And I'm going to visit with him again. But I think that sometimes, folks, we got to be like Joseph. We got to be like Paul. We got to be willing to talk about Christ. Even when you're filling up your motorcycle, when you're filling up your gas in the truck, when you're filling up whatever you're doing, you got to be willing to talk about Christ. You got to always hang that sign out there that you belong to your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that he has adopted you into your family. That's what Joseph knew. He knew that he had been adopted into God's family. He knew God was with him every day. Those songs we sung this morning, God's with us. He's with us every day, folks. Everywhere we go, God is with us. It's up to us whether we turn him one way, turn him loose, or whether we keep him close. Sometimes it seems that it's so hard. It seems that we're not ever going to see daylight out the other side. I know that's what Joseph thought. I know in my life there was a time where I entered into a contract with a large company, and the contract was a corporate contract, and they had more money than I had. Believe that? And there wasn't nothing I could do about it but go along with it and fulfill it. It pretty much broke me, but I fulfilled it. Now, I could have done different, but I agreed to that to begin with. They didn't live into their end of it. I felt like I lived into mine. And I thought all of the time that I was doing that, I thought, "What am I gaining from this, Lord? What am I gaining from this? Why don't I just call it and let them think about me whatever they want to think?" And it was always, every day, something, the same thoughts. No, you do what you're supposed to do, and then we'll get it straightened out at the end. Folks, that's what I tried to do. I done what I was said I'd do and what I was supposed to do. And at the end, I couldn't see that it had helped me any at all. I couldn't tell one bit of difference. But that was, when I finished that was 1990. And from 1990 to right today, 26, I can tell exactly what I done and how it paid off for me. I can tell you all about it. So sometimes, folks, we don't get to look at it in the first 10 year, first 5 year. It may be 30 year down the road like it's been for me or more. But it is a part of our life. It's a part of how we stay true to God. It's a part of who we are. So just remember that we, as you come and look at the story of Joseph each Sunday for the next few Sundays, I want you to remember that Joseph was a man of God. And I want you to know that each one of us is a man of God. We're formed and made after him, and he sent his son Jesus to die for us. And if we accept him as our Lord and Savior, we are an adopted son or daughter of his. And that's the only thing that matters. We will have eternal life if you believe. Think about that. We're going to move on, folks, to... I've got a few people wants to join the church this morning. Go ask Brian to come and ask the questions. And I'll be standing on the side after this is over with. And I will go to the front door. I'd love for every one of y'all that's joined to go with me, line up, and let everybody shake your hand. Maybe they've never met you. Meet you and find out who you are. And be welcomed into the church is where I'd like for you to go. If you don't want to, that's all right, too. But I would like for you to go and spend some time at the door and being welcomed by the church family as they go out. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.